Hello and welcome to episode 84 of the Dragons Are Real podcast, and my name is Pete Jones. Now, before we get into anything, we've got a call-in, so take it away, Jason.
Hey, Pete, Jason here. Great roundup on your fifth Zine Quest episode. Lots of interesting stuff. Nice to know that they've captured the feel the conservatives have for living in a society that hates them in that one zine about the children in the dust or whatever it is. Anyway, and I also saw that Western one, The Kill and Die Tomorrow or whatever. That looks interesting. But I wanted to mention it's going to get a lot more interesting here money-wise because the One Ring second edition drops today, February 11th, on Kickstarter. And so I think that One Ring second edition is going to suck some money out of Zine Quest, which kind of is unfortunate timing. But, of course, Everway is also Everway. Is that the card game with tarot cards? That's also on Kickstarter, but I think the One Ring is probably going to suck a lot of stuff out. So it'll be interesting. Anyhow, look forward to your next episode. Take care.
Thank you, Jason. And Jason's podcast is the Nerds RPG Variety Cast. I recommend you check that one out. So a couple of things that Jason covered there. Yeah, the One Ring. Wow, that's gone big. I thought it would do well, but flipping heck. For those who don't know, the One Ring is a Lord of the Rings RPG. The first edition was with Cubicle 7. And then something strange happened there, and there was a bit of a falling out, and Cubicle 7 dumped it, and now it's been taken up by Free League. Well, we know it's going to be popular, but so far it's less than 48 hours in, and it's taken £566,000, which for US backers is about $785,000 in the 48 hours. Kickstarters typically do 40% in the first 48 hours, so you're looking, this is going to be the biggest RPG out there. It's going to hit, I think, probably 1.5 million. That's big, 6,581 backers. Yeah, there's a lot of hype about this one. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the Adventures in Middle-earth game, which is their 5e version, which has all the exact same adventures, modules, but it's converted for 5e. So that's due to come out later this year. And I wonder now on the back of this whether they'll kickstart that. So we'll wait and see. Zine Quest, yeah. There's a bit of a Zine Quest fatigue now. So far, I've backed 13. I've got 30 more being watched. Honestly, I might back another 4 or 5. So in this, I'll just mention three that do interest me. The first one is Old School and Cool Volume 2 by Wind Lothamer. That's an OSR zine for Old School Essentials. I backed the Volume 1 of this on Kickstarter. I think it was last year. So I'll probably do that one. That was £4 digital, £8 in print. Another one that just crept up on my radar is Noctis Labyrinth, by Mordite Press. This is a no-prep adventure for World of Dungeons. You delve into the veins of the Red Desert. It's a little bit pricey, this one, but I think it's 2 or 3 magazines. This is £15 digital and £19 print. And the last honourable mention, which I'm really looking to look of, is Space Hooligans by Octopus Apocalypse. This is a rules-light RPG about mankind's poorly planned foray into interstellar exploration. Think of it like Star Trek, the original series, without the pretense of the Prime Directive or Enterprise if it were made in the 1970s. And that one's £6 in digital and £9 in print. That's enough of Zine Quest, but for today, we're going to do something a bit different. We're going back to a rule review. So today, I'm looking at the Quest RPG, which is a new RPG that came out last year, and it's targeting newcomers into the hobby. My review is of the digital PDF version, which is in Landscape, which is ideal for reading on a tablet. I believe the print version is different in that it's digest portrait size, but I can't confirm that because I've obviously not seen it. This is an ideal beginner's game for new people to the hobby. And I would highly recommend this one for kids. It's divided into 4 sections: how to play, creating a character, abilities and equipment, and for the guide. What I like about it, each chapter tells you how long it's going to take you to read. The text is nice and clear, and there's some really nice, clear art, almost cartoony art, but it's really nice. So what's the setting? It's a fantasy world that is highly magical, but less technologically advanced than our world. The rules written are very friendly and approachable, and the setting is sort of split into several areas. There's a worldly plane, which is the here and the now. There's the shadow plane, which is an independent dimensions accessed by magic. The rift, which are astral planes that exist between the universes. And the beyond, an outer plane, which is the source of all the magical energy. And it doesn't go too much into the setting, but it gives you enough bare bones to get you going. Now, before we get onto the core mechanic, there's a couple of differences with this to regular RPGs in that it has no attributes nor skills, and it has no modifier to the rolls. The core mechanic is a D20, and I would say it's probably inspired by Powered by the Apocalypse game. So you roll a D20. If you get a 1, it's a catastrophe. 20, it's a triumph. And then in between that, 2 to 5 is failure. 6 to 10 is a tough choice. And 11 to 19 is a success. So as you can see for this, there has been an obvious design decision here. As with no modifiers, there's a 75% chance of success. And that sort of, I think that is designed more towards newcomers to the game because, as you know, success is often more rewarding for new people than failure. What I do like is it's gone for the abstract distances, and the distances it uses are in reach, nearby, in range, and too far. Nice and simple. Any attacks that succeed, then if it's an unarmed attack, you do 1 damage. Basic weapons do 2 damage, and then only special abilities and magic items do more. Character creation. So character creation is quite simple. You pick a role, of which there are several: fighter, invoker, ranger, naturalist, doctor, spy, magician, and wizard. The character roles will allow players to pick special abilities from individual tree paths. You answer a number of questions about your character, your look, your style, where you're from, what you believe in, what makes you vulnerable, and it gives lists of items to choose from. So for new players, they've got a nice list of items and they can pick something that interests them. There are no races or ancestries, so it keeps it simple. And then you choose 3 common weapons and 1 useful item from that list. Encumbrance is kept simple in that the maximum items you can carry is 12, full stop. So as I said, from your role, you choose 6 abilities, which are from 5 learning paths, and each of these learning paths has 3 to 5 abilities each. And these are very much like feats or edges in other games. They are special moves that either allow something that wouldn't normally be allowed in the rules. So for example, you might be able to disarm an NPC. It might be that you roll for an effect or increase damage. Some of these abilities you can just do. Other ones requires you adventure points to spend. And these are the meta currency of the game. So they're like your bennies or your fate points or your hero coins. You start off with 10 adventure points and you earn 5 adventure points per session. And the abilities, it costs between sort of 1 and 7 for the really strong abilities. The advancement rules are simple. Obviously, there's no attributes or skills, so you get 1 new ability for each session of play. So this sort of caps a campaign out to probably 15-20 sessions before you max out. The game also uses a hit point mechanic. You start with 10 hit points, and those are your maximum hit points, and they never go up. It's keeping the power level nice and low, and as I said before, damage is either usually 1 or 2 hit points. 5 hits before you're taken down. If an NPC is taken down to 0, they are immediately killed. Then we have a GM advice section, and this is very good for new GMs. It tells them how to run the game, some safety tools to use for playing with strangers, or maybe even your friends. There's good examples on how to set up a scene, giving examples and prompts, examples of clues to leave for players, how to challenge your players, and how the NPCs react. Consequences, a list of them, what happens on the different dice rolls for low to high risk situations, and rewards you can give to your players. For new GMs, this is great. It gives you loads of advice and it's written nice and simply and direct to the GM or guide, as they're known. There's no bestiary as such, but NPCs, like the rest of the game, has been simplified. NPCs have 2 stats, hit points and attack rating. Hit points vary between 2 and 10 points, and an attack rating, which is the damage caused, is from 1 to 4 damage. There are basically three types of NPCs, commoners, which are your regular cannon fodder, your mooks. Then there's minions, which are your lieutenants and your sergeants and those sorts. And finally, your bosses. So between those two stats, there are some NPC special abilities that you can add to give them some flavor. And then at the end of the book is a list of magic items, which has been split up into various categories like uncommon, rare, legendary. And these are nice, unique magic items. There's none of your plus one swords here, because remember, there's no modifiers. They are really interesting. And if you know anything about new players, they love getting new cool stuff. And having an inventory of 12, if they get something new and cool, they're going to have to get rid of something else. So that's nicely done. What are my thoughts on Quest the RPG? Well, it's great for newbies. There's no maths involved. There's loads of cool abilities and there's plenty to choose from. And with the life paths or the life trees, there's lots of variety and it can make really different characters. The character creation encourages fiction forward, and with none of the baggage that us old role players have got, I think this is a good way to introduce people to the game. As I said before, the GM advice is really good for new gamers. And as a whole, the book is really well designed with pleasing art and clearly written. And I think Quest achieves what it sets out to do. It's not going to tempt experienced gamers away from their system. But if you're looking for a game that you want, you've got some young kids or grandchildren that you want to introduce to the game, I think Quest would be a really good fit. I know there's already some VTT modules out there so you can learn to play Quest. Certainly, I know there's one for Foundry VTT already, and I'm sure the others like Roll20 and Astral will come along too so that you can get up and play. There's also a really nice community creators resource under Creative Commons, so that's got a load of the free rules, and you can hack the game to your heart's content, and more importantly, you can sell your own version of the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some more hacks coming out for it, maybe for science fiction or other genres. So that's Quest RPG. So that's all for this episode. My many thanks to Jason for the call-in and for you all from listening. I hope you enjoyed the review. And there's a couple of zines popped in there as well. And I've got some more reviews lined up, so stay tuned for them. If you want any more information, remember, check out the website at petejones.neocities.org. The blog is kept up to date with links and the show notes, and that's dragonsarerealpodcast.tumblr.com. You can leave me a voicemail via the Anchor app, as Jason demonstrated earlier on today. You can also email me by either an audio clip-in or by text at dragonsarerealpodcast@pm.me. And you can find me on many places like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the Audio Dungeon Discord, links on the website. That's all for today, folks. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you all on the flip side.